The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up, seeing how our kindness can get worn down.
And you just hang in there with it for as long as you can, and finally you just go, you know what, you're meaner than a snake, and I'm going to be mean right back. I mean, there's just something about it. I would find myself thinking, I daydream of all the things I was going to say. Anybody else? Tell me, does anybody else have a fight with somebody in your imagination?
The Law of Kindness, next on Life Today.
Thank you so much for giving us the opportunity of sharing Wednesdays with Beth. Beth Moore will be sharing and teaching in a moment. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I are thrilled to have this opportunity. I want to mention something that we'll be talking about during the course of the week. The Gift of Life, Governor Huckabee narrates a documentary on the importance and preciousness of life, the gift of life. I really believe that we're facing a critical problem in our nation, and we have been for some time, and I think we're reaping the consequences of it, and that is the disregard of the importance and preciousness of human life, the right to life, which is the first of all rights from which all other rights come. And we have really, I believe, turned in the wrong direction now for several decades, and I think it is costing us. I think personally, Betty, that a lot of the economic challenges that we face, a lot of the pressures that people have, and even how they relate to life itself, has been negatively impacted because we don't value life properly. And so I'm asking you, this year is a very important year. Pray about the leaders who will lead us and represent you. How do they stand regarding life? Very, very important. Beth is teaching on the law of kindness. I would think kindness would start with the unborn. Let's let Beth talk about the law of kindness. You're going to be blessed.
Now, because some people are just now catching up with us in this series on the law of kindness, what was number one?
Kindness is not weakness.
Kindness is not weakness. Kindness is a strength. In fact, we're going to see it as a supernatural strength. Number two is this: kindness gets worn down when we are. Kindness gets worn down when we are. I want you to be thinking, when we're talking about living in a mean world, and we're talking about that if we're not going to get a hard heart, it will be because we were purposeful about continuing to let God nurse in us through His Spirit a graciousness and a tenderness to people, and a heart that was still warm toward people, and trade out that heart of stone. But what we're going to find is we're trying to figure out, where did I start getting mean? And I'm not saying this is everybody, but I will tell you this. Y'all, we all have a mean streak in us. All of us do. I mean, something just can come out of nowhere. And we can either just like live out there in the meanness, or it'll just fly out of us every now and then. But you and I are trying to figure out, where does it come from? Like, why did I say that? I didn't even mean that. Well, where did that action come from? Sometimes it's purely because we are worn down. I want you to write down the address, Daniel 7:25. Daniel 7:25. I'm not going to take the time to look it up with to look it up with you, but I am going to read it to you. Daniel 7:25 talks about the end of days when the enemy force, the force of the Antichrist, will speak against the Most High and oppress His saints. Oppress His saints. That word oppress, and it says it straight out in the NAS. It means to wear down the saints. That won't only be true of the way the enemy forces work in the end of days. It's true every single era on the kingdom calendar. Now, one of the things that the enemy tries to do with us is just flat out wear us down. Like, now we're tired. We're just like tired. And we've been dealing with this mean situation for so long. You may have someone in your life, maybe it's in your workplace, in your extended family, that just is mean-spirited. And we come to a place where we think, you know what, I'm going to pay you back meanness for meanness. And I want you to know, I come to this out of a personal testimony. The reason why I went to this scripture to study it is because I began to pray it over myself. Because by and large, just kind of across the board, you know, I tend to be a fairly happy person. I tend to be happier than a lot of people may want me to be. You understand what I'm saying? Maybe even annoying. You're going, yes, it is. It is annoying, Beth. I'm glad that you realize that. But I got in a situation, and I don't want you to try to figure out who this is. I live in very close community with about 10 family members. So it could be any one of those. But in kind of that wide range, but in the daily where every week you're with them, I just have somebody in my life that tends to be unkind. And I mean, just like you just hang in there and you hang in there and you hang in there. I just need to see somebody's hand if you're just stepping in this one. And I need to see this group over here. Anybody over there? Yeah. Yes. Okay. And you just hang in there with it for as long as you can. And finally, you just go, you know what? You're meaner than a snake, and I'm going to be mean right back. I mean, there's just something about it that you think, I'm going to give them. I want them to know how this feels. And so what happened to me was that I formed a bad habit. I just got to where, well, I mean, and you can imagine it was a free-for-all. Because that person was mean and I was mean right back. And I got into this where I lost the filter on my tongue. And the thing about it, it wasn't with everybody in my life. It was with this person. But this person was important to me, and it's someone I have to do a whole lot of life with, and this is not the way I want to live. It's not godly. I'd find myself every single morning confessing the same thing. And that's when you know, well, you know, maybe the thing needs to change. So if I'm saying the same thing, forgive me for what I said. Every morning I'm saying, forgive me for what I said yesterday. Or forgive me for what I said day before yesterday. Anybody else? I formed a bad habit of unkindness. Now, we can reason all day long that they deserved it. That's not what God's Word says we're supposed to do. We're children of the Most High God, called to be kind to the ungrateful and even the wicked. We're to love and be merciful like our Father in heaven has loved and been merciful. So it was just flat wrong. There was no excuse for it. But I was in a habit. And I would decide that morning that I wasn't going to do it. And then I'd get about to like 1 or 2 in the afternoon and boom, there would come. And then I never could just shut up with that one thing. Because see, I'd been storing it up. I would find myself thinking, I'd daydream of all the things I was going to say. Anybody else? Tell me, does anybody else have a fight with somebody in your imagination? And I mean, it's the and you say it with perfect timing and look a certain way when you say it. I mean, and then you just like turn and walk away and you leave them with it. And it's just like the perfect fight. It's the perfect fight. Only I just kept picturing that and then I just acted on it. Because sooner or later, the overflow of your heart's going to come out through your mouth. And that's exactly what was happening. Well, on my own, I could not quit doing it. And it'd been about 3 months. I just given way to it, whatever I thought I just said. I could not stand myself. But I didn't know what to do. I kept confessing it to God. I kept asking for Him to fill me with His Spirit. And you know one of the things He directed me to do? I had to go confess it to some people. And here's what I did. I had 5 of my friends I called together and said, I don't know what in the world is wrong with me, but I have lapsed into unkindness. I don't know what has happened to my tongue. And I want God to use my mouth. And yet, here's what I was doing with it. And I said, I need you guys to hold me accountable. And what I had to do, because this person is in and out of my normal everyday life and every week life. And so what I told them to do, I said, I have to report to you every morning in a group text. I had all 5 of them on one text. I will report to you every single morning how I did the day before. And anything I say, I have to tell you that I said. They said, okay, we'll do it. And they said, we'll pray you up. Because it's one thing to just confess, but I needed the help of my sisters so that they could see me through. Well, I'm going to tell you, because I knew I was going to have to report to them. If you don't think that habit broke. And what God wanted me to do was just humble myself and go, I'm really having a problem. And I mean, they almost got tickled. Because they just, it's just really not like me to just go off on a tangent like that. And it's just not been, it is, I've had so many strongholds, but unkindness has really not been the big one on the list until just here recently. And what I think, I just got worn down. He just like, just like you get worn out after a while. And you no longer have that filter on your tongue. And I'm just telling you, get you some support from some friends that hold you accountable, because that ain't no way to live. And you know what? In some respects, the person got nicer, and in some respects, not. But I feel a whole lot better. A whole lot better, because I want to live in the Spirit. I ask you today, are you just worn out? I got to show y'all the coolest thing. This is the beauty. I tell you every now and then, why is it we ever even mention Greek or Hebrew words? Right here is the reason. I want to read you a wonderful verse that is familiar to many of you out of Matthew chapter 11. Listen to it. It says in 28 through 30, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Verse 30, "For my yoke is," what does it say? Does anybody know it by heart? "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Okay, I got to tell you something. I don't know why, because you're going to ask me, why did the translators translate it that way? And I'm not sure. I went to my little Greek scholar. My youngest daughter has really done the academic thing. And I went to her and I said, "I need you to look up this word and tell me why." And she goes, "Well, now, Mother, I can figure out why they did it," but she said, "it's still really by and large a mystery." That word right there, "for my yoke is easy," that is our word, the lexical form of that word, Christos, that I told you about earlier, Christos. If we were going to look for a really tight rendering of that, it would be, "My yoke is kind. My yoke is kind." Listen, when we get all yoked up to other people, I'm not talking about marriage here. I'm just talking about yokes. I'm talking about bondage. When we're all yoked up to people, we get in all sorts of unkind situations. But he says to me, "Let me tell you something. My yoke will always be kind. Always. I'll never be unkind to you." And somebody is tuned in today just to hear that very word. God wants you to hear today, "I'll never be unkind to you." He is incapable of being unkind to you. His yoke, even his yoke, is kind. Turn with me to Genesis 37, verse 4. Genesis 37, verse 4. I'm praying God is about to speak a word to somebody and set somebody free. "When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him." They hated him and couldn't speak a kind word to him. For some people that we just find that we cannot be nice to somehow, it could be that we're jealous of them, or it could be that we hate them. And I want to say something to you today. We don't talk enough about hate, because we try to act like that's the thing that we really do not do. I mean, that would be the one thing. Like, we sin in many ways. As James says, we stumble in many ways. But, I mean, hate is too far. And how often is it that we'll ever admit to having hated someone? But you know you have, and I know I have. That there are times in our lives when we feel such strong feelings to someone that we literally, whether or not we treat them like a frenemy, whether or not we act nice to their face and ugly behind their back, the truth is we resent them, we may be jealous of them, or we just may flat out hate them. And it wears out our kindness. This just helps us to see when it's worn down, where is it going? What has happened to it? And it's not that we need our egos built back up. We need our spirits built back up by God and His Word and His people. Get some accountability to get back in the habit of kindness. Unkindness becomes habitual. I mean, it just becomes a way of reacting over and over again until we become someone we don't even like. Listen, you have to live in there with yourself. We don't want to be in this trap. Somebody tell me what number one was so that our audience can catch up with us. Kindness is not weakness. Number two is what? When we're worn down, kindness gets worn down with us. And number three is this. Kindness is willing to look in the face of the hurting. Kindness is willing to look in the face of the hurting. Okay, somebody say that back to me. Kindness
is willing to look in the face of the hurting.
All right, write down beside it, Job 6:28. Job 6:28. This is when Job says, of course, to the worst friends in all humanity, with friends like these, who needs enemies, that's where that saying would have to have come from. Job 6:28, he said to his friends who were telling him all manner of things that they do not know, speaking out of turn. And he says to them, but now be so kind as to look at me. Be so kind as to look at me. I told you in the beginning of this series that this topic reminds me more of James and Betty Robinson than anything that I think I've ever had the privilege to share on Wednesdays, because they live by the law of kindness and they believe in doing the hard thing. And as resistant as we are in soul to looking in the face of suffering, it is a must if we are going to resolve to respond to it. That we've got to be a people that we're blessed of God when we are kind to the needy. They live by this. This is their entire lives. All of us have that tendency to want to turn the channel when it starts into that part, and the faces of those who are suffering are shown to us. And on other programs as well that show suffering, our first tendency is to shut it off. But kindness looks right in the face of the homeless, of the hungry, of the needy. Y'all, I recently became aware of a condition I had never heard of in my life. By its actual name, it's prosopagnosia, but it means face blindness. Do you know that there are people on this planet, one of them, if you ever want to do any research, is the artist, a very well-known artist, well-known for his the large faces that he paints on canvases. Chuck Close has this very malady. It is a condition where people cannot recognize other people's faces. They have to know someone extremely well, sometimes not even those. For instance, one guy that was being interviewed said that he could have lunch with a coworker and go out of the restaurant and wait for their car to be brought up by the valet, be standing right with him and just say, hi there, and have no idea he had just had lunch with him. Face blindness. It's one reason why the artist Chuck Close, he paints faces, is because the flatness of the image somehow helps him to get it in his mind. And he says that he paints people that are dear to him for that very purpose. Can you imagine? Yet we are living in a culture of face blindness. We don't want to see it. We don't want it staring in our face. It's so difficult for us and so heartbreaking to us that we just feel like we can't bear it. And we need to be healed of our face blindness. You know, listen, even social networking has figured out that you need a face on there. That hence Facebook, not just book. I mean, like, I just got on book, and I wrote to everybody. No, part of what makes that work for you is because it's got their face with it. Bloggers now have identities with their faces and pictures if they want it. Why? Because that adds the personal aspect to it. It keeps us in this electronic relational life we're living in our culture. It keeps us from face blindness. Somebody's talking to us and they're hurting. Our first inclination is to look away. No, look them dead in the eye. Lean over the table and go, I hear what you're saying to me. I'm so, so sorry. Got to be cured of our face blindness.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
Boy, I don't want you to turn away. God doesn't want you to turn away from pain or heartache or suffering or challenges. I thought Beth was really correct when she referenced the fact that even with our television program, oftentimes after you've heard the teaching, and we really know a lot of you just love to listen to Beth, and in case you don't know it, Beth is a mission outreach to the thirsty and the spiritually hungry. And we believe that she has a supernatural, a divine ability to communicate and to teach God's Word. And she really connects and relates so effectively with women who are a tremendous part of our viewing audience. And we love you and we want to bless you. But Beth knows what she's talking about when we sometimes, you know, we'll will show you a need, and sometimes it is painful to watch. You turn away. You wouldn't want God to turn away from you if you were in a desperate, very difficult situation. Now, I promise you, what you're about to see could cause you to turn away. Don't. Let kindness and love prevail and look the way God would look. And then do what God would want you to do. Watch very closely. You saw those children fighting for the food that they've stood in line to get. Did you know that right there where you were just watching in Sudan just recently, our mission team reported to us that of the children trying to get to the lines to get the food, two children were dying every day. As you looked at that clip, you saw the three children there with the little beautiful orange bowls that you, the viewers, told us you wanted to give them, heat resistant. And you saw those three children, Betty, that's one person, $30 feeds those three. Then you saw the bowls disappear. That's what happens every 6 months in the cycle of feeding, because we come to you, our viewers, every 6 months, and we ask you to help us feed those children for the next months. And then Betty and I are working continually and doing special and outreaches to get enough money to feed between the feeding emphasis. Would you help us put food in those bowls? Would you assure the missionaries they're not going to run out? They're going to have the food? Would you dial the telephone number there on the screen? If your heart was broken and you needed prayer, you call at any time. It's paid for by love. We'll pray for you, pray with you. We care about you. Right now, that number's there as a lifeline. We're asking you to help us feed hundreds of thousands of children, just like those you saw in Sudan, all over Africa. And you see them three at a time, five at a time, 10 at a time. And here's the amazing thing. For $30, we can feed three of those children for several months. For $50, we can feed five. For $100, we can feed 10. $1,000, we can feed 100. It's not total life support. It's not everything children need, but it stabilizes their diet. It gets them healthy. It gets them on their feet, and then we teach them how to live and ultimately how to make a living. And it's a miraculous transformation. It is where the compassion connection brings the necessary healing. But without you, and the missionaries say, you're the key. You're the greatest Christians. I always say the missionaries are. They say, no, the people that enable us to do what we do. They're the greatest Christians. Would you dial the number and take your bank card and use it like a check, please? If you can give $100, please do so. Help us feed 10 of those children. If you can give $1,000, do it. $50 will feed five, $30 will feed three. We're sending to those of you who would like to have it the Jesus Storybook for Children, Children's Bible. It is fabulous. For your children or grandchildren, the side-by-side parallel Bible with the New International Version, the New King James Version, beautiful study Bible, to say thank you for helping us feed 10 children. If you'd like to have the DVD, The Gift of Life, talking about the importance and value of life, request it. We'd be happy to send it to you. Please help us care for as many children as you possibly can.
At this very moment, a child is drawing his last breath, struggling to stay alive due to a lack of food. Sadly, this impoverished child is not alone, and without our help, many like him face death as well. Today, you can make a difference. You can help save a life. Life's Mission feeding teams are in place right now, ready to answer the hunger cries of 400,000 suffering children in remote areas of Africa. With previous food reserves gone and parts of Africa facing its worst famine and food shortage in more than two decades, we desperately need to replenish our supplies immediately. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you the Jesus Storybook Bible. This beautifully illustrated book will help your children discover for themselves that Jesus is at the center of God's great story of salvation and at the center of their lives, too. With your gift of $100 or more to help feed 10 children, you may request our new international version and new King James side-by-side Bible with a two-column format for easy comparison. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and save the lives of 100 children. And you may also request the Lion and the Lamb bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
You know, I really do hope you will make a large gift and help us care for 100 of those precious children and ask for the Lion and the Lamb bronze. It's absolutely a beautiful art piece and a collectible. The Jesus Storybook Bible, fabulous. We're sending the side-by-side Bible, the New International Version, which is what Beth uses, and the New King James. Our pastor, Robert Morris, uses it. I also want to mention that if you've not gotten Indivisible, it's in the bookstores, or you can go online. But if you would say, James, we haven't gotten it, we'd like to have it, if you help us and you make a gift to help us feed those children, the gift God puts on your heart, and say, I'd like to have the book Indivisible, we'll be happy to send it to you. We just want you to help us help others. And then the message here will help you see faith, family, and freedom restored in your day, in your country, for the glory of God. Thank you so much for watching.
Tomorrow, a man born with no arms and shortened legs overcomes the challenges to live a positive life.
Life is from God.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.